بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. مكتبة الموحدين بالبحر الكريمي، يا سيدة تقدير الشيخ علي الوصيفي حفظه الله ورعاه. الدرس الرابع من دروس شهر رمضان بعنوان كنوز وفوائد في شهر رمضان، وهذا في يوم الأحد السادس من رمضان 1442 هجري، الموافق 18 من أبريل 2021 ميلادي. Muhaddin Publications is pleased to announce the continuation of the classes with Sheikh Ali Al-Wasifi حفظه الله ورعاه. And the title of these classes, as we're going through, inshallah, the fourth class today, is Treasures and Benefits in the Month of Ramadan. And that's on the day of Sunday, the 6th of Ramadan, 1442 Hijri, corresponding to the 18th of April, 2021 ميلادي. فليتفضل مشكورا مأجورا.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أعاذنا الله تعالى وإياكم من عذاب النار. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم في الحديث الذي رواه أبو هريرة، قال: من صام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. وهذا الحديث المبارك بين فيه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الأسباب والطرق الموصلة إلى مغفرة الله عز وجل، وبين فيها أيضا الطرق أو الأسباب المانعة من عفو الله عز وجل ومغفرته بالإشارة والدلالة. فقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم: من صام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا، دل على أن أصل قبول الأعمال وأصل العفو والمغفرة في الإخلاص لله عز وجل، وهو أن يعتقد المرء أن الله عز وجل فرض عليه هذه العبادة وهذا الصيام. وذلك قال: صام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا. إيمانا يعني إيمانا بفرضيته، يعني آمن بأنه شرع من شرع الله عز وجل، وهذا وارد في القرآن من قول الله تعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم، إلى قوله: فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصمه. وهذا دليل على أنه شرع ملزم واجب، من تركه بغير عذر فهو آثم، وهو مذنب، وهو مقصر في حق الله سبحانه وتعالى، وهو ركن من أركان الإسلام. واحتسابا، قوله واحتسابا أي يحتسب الأجر عند الله عز وجل، لأنه أخلص في العمل ويرجو ألا يحاسبه على هذا العمل أحد إلا الله سبحانه وتعالى، فهو متجرد في عمله لله عز وجل، تحقيقا للمعنى المراد من قول الله تعالى: كل عمل ابن آدم له إلا الصوم فإنه لي. والله عز وجل إذا جعل الصوم له خالصا له، فلا بد أن يقدر معه أسباب الوصول إلى تلك النتيجة، وهي الإخلاص. فالإخلاص مرتبط بالصيام، فمن صامه عن طيب نفس وإخلاص، لا رياء ولا سمعة، يريد به وجه الله سبحانه وتعالى، ولا يقصد به مخافة مخالفة الناس، يعني يصوم، فهو يصوم إيمانا واحتسابا لله عز وجل، لا يصوم مخافة الملام من الناس، ولا يصوم رياء، ولا يصوم لأجل مقام أو جاه أو شيء من ذلك، إنما يصوم من أجل الله عز وجل تحقيقا لمراد الله عز وجل في هذا العمل، هو أن يجرده المرء لله سبحانه وتعالى ولا يجعل فيه شيئا لغير الله سبحانه وتعالى. قال: من صام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. دل ذلك على أن كبائر الذنوب تحول بين المرء وبين ربه سبحانه وتعالى، أي وبين عفو الله عز وجل وبين مغفرة الله سبحانه وتعالى. فأرجى ما يتمناه المرء في حياته هو أن يعفو الله عز وجل عنه، وأن يغفر الله سبحانه وتعالى له، وأن يتجاوز عن سيئاته. هذا هو أعظم ما يتمناه المرء من ربه سبحانه وتعالى، هو عفو الله عز وجل ومغفرته. كما قال إبراهيم عليه السلام: والذي أطمع أن يغفر لي خطيئتي يوم الدين. وقال المؤمنون: ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا وأخطأنا. قال الله: قد فعلت. ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا. قال الله: قد فعلت. ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا. قال الله: قد فعلت. أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. فدل ذلك على أن أعظم ما يأمله المرء من عبادته ودينه هو أن ينتصر وأن يرتفع دين الإسلام فوق العالمين جميعا، فوق الكفار والمشركين وأعداء الدين. فهذا هو أعظم ما يأمله المرء في الدنيا، أن يرتفع الإسلام وأن تكون كلمة الله عز وجل هي العليا وكلمة الذين كفروا السفلى. فالصيام هنا كفارة للذنوب، والصيام هنا مغفرة من الله عز وجل. وهناك أمور كثيرة ورد فيها أن الصيام وأن الصلاة وأن الصدقة كفارة للذنوب والمعاصي. ففي الحديث الذي رواه مسلم وغيره أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: الصلوات الخمس والجمعة إلى الجمعة ورمضان إلى رمضان مكفرات ما بينهن إذا اجتنبت الكبائر. وكذلك النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: من قام ليلة القدر إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. وكان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول: فتنة الرجل في أهله وماله يكفرها الصيام والصدقة، وفي رواية الصيام والصدقة والصلاة. فهذه أيضا تكفر الصيام، يكفر ما يقع من تقصير من المرء في أهله وولده وماله، لأن الإنسان ممتحن بأهله وزوجه وأولاده، إما أن يكون مقصرا مفرطا مضيعا لحق أهله وأولاده، وإما أن يكون محبا لهم مقدما لهم على كل شيء. فهذا نوع من التقصير والتفريط أو الزيادة في المحبة فوق قدرها، فهذه أيضا يكفرها الله سبحانه وتعالى بالصيام. فالصيام الجمعة إلى الجمعة ورمضان إلى رمضان مكفرات لما بينهن ما اجتنبت الكبائر. فالعلماء بيّنوا أن الكبائر هي الذنوب والمعاصي التي تستلزم حدا أو تستلزم عقوبة من الله عز وجل في الآخرة، يعني يستحق صاحبها العقوبة في الآخرة. فإذا ترك الإنسان الكبائر والذنوب والمعاصي فإنه يكون أخلص ما يكون حاله عندما يترك هذه الذنوب والمعاصي، يعني عندما يترك الذنوب والمعاصي الكبائر فإنه يكون خالصا لله عز وجل. وقد ورد هناك حديث في هذه المسألة هو متعلق بتحقيق الإخلاص، وتحقيق الإخلاص إذا ثبت في القلب وشاهد له النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فإنه يرفع العقوبة بالكلية سواء كان حدا أو عقوبة في الآخرة. وذلك أن رجلا جاء إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وقال له: يا رسول الله، قد أصبت حدا. فقال له النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: هل صليت معنا الصلاة؟ قال: نعم. قال: ارجع فقد غفر الله لك. فقوله قد أصبت حدا وقول النبي، يعني حد يستوجب العقوبة هو القصاص، وقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ارجع فقد غفر الله لك، هذا معناه أن الله عز وجل أطلعه على أن توبة الرجل، هذا الرجل، كانت توبة خالصة كافية تكفي من أن يؤدب بالقصاص، تكفي بأن يؤدب بالقصاص، يعني توبته كانت توبة خالصة. فتحقيق التوبة الخالصة هذا أمر لا يعلمه إلا الله عز وجل. ولذلك الإنسان عندما يرتكب حدا فإنه ويذهب إلى القاضي ويقيم عليه الحد، فالله عز وجل يغفر له، فمن عوقب به فهو كفارة له، ومن لم يعاقب به فهو إلى الله، إن شاء عذبه وإن شاء عفى عنه، إن شاء عذبه وإن شاء عفى عنه. الشاهد أن الإنسان إذا ترك الذنوب وترك المعاصي فإن الله عز وجل يغفر له سبحانه وتعالى، يعني ترك كبائر الذنوب وترك كبائر المعاصي فإن الله عز وجل يغفر له. لكن هناك بعض الناس، طبعا الآيات في ذلك كثيرة، إن الله لا يغفر أن يشرك به ويغفر ما دون ذلك لمن يشاء، قل يا عبادي الذين أسرفوا على أنفسهم لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا. فالمرء كما قال الأئمة تستقيم توبته إذا تاب إلى الله عز وجل وتخلص من التبعات، وإذا توجع من الذنوب والمعاصي التي ارتكبها وتألم منها، سواء هذه العثرات وقعت منه أو وقعت من غيره، يعني لا يشمت في غيره، إذا وقع بذنب فهو يتألم لذنوب غيره كما يتألم لذنوب نفسه. فإذا تألم المرء واستدرك ما فاته من الطاعات ومن العبادات التي قصر فيها فإن الله سبحانه وتعالى يغفر له، يصلح قلبه ويغفر له. وهذه إذا لازمت المرء حتى الموت فهذا دليل على سلامة قلبه، يعني إذا نظر دائما في التوبة وكان جاهزا بالتوبة في كل وقت وكل حين، وكان متألما من الذنوب والمعاصي، وكان مستدركا لما فاته من العبادات والطاعات، يعني ما قصر فيه وضيعه يعاود القيام به وفعله مرة أخرى، فإذا حدث ذلك فإن الله عز وجل يغفر له. لكن هناك طائفة من الناس قال فيهم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: يأتي يوم القيامة أناس من أمتي أعمالهم كالجبال ثم ينسفها الله عز وجل، يعني لهم أعمال صالحة مثل الجبال، ينسفها الله يعني يجعلها الله هباء منثورا. فخشي الصحابة على أنفسهم فقالوا يا رسول الله صفهم لنا، يعني جلهم لنا، أظهر علامات هؤلاء الناس لنا. فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: أما إنهم إخوانكم ومن جلدتكم ويأخذون من الليل كما تأخذون، ولكنهم أقوام إذا خلوا بمحارم الله انتهكوها. والمراد أنهم يظهرون الشيء الحسن للناس خداعا للناس، ويبطنون الشيء السيء عندما يخلون بأنفسهم، فإنهم في الحقيقة يخلون مع شياطينهم، إما بمفردهم وإما مع شياطينهم. قال إذا خلوا بمحارم الله انتهكوها، يعني استهزأوا بمحارم الله ووقعوا فيها استخفافا بها، فهؤلاء يعاقبهم الله عز وجل، لأن ضرر هؤلاء على الإسلام والمسلمين أشد، لأن من كان دأبه إظهار الحسن وإسرار القبيح فضرره على المسلمين شديد، لأنه إنما هو في الحقيقة يستخف بالمحرمات يستخف. هذا الحديث وارد في من يرتكب المحرمات في السر استخفافا بها أو استخفافا بشعائر الله. لكن هناك حديث آخر قال فيه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: كل أمتي معافى إلا المجاهرين. فالمجاهرون بالمعصية والمجاهرون بالذنوب، هؤلاء انتهكوا ستر الله عز وجل ولم يعبأوا بستر الله عز وجل، فهؤلاء يعاقبهم الله. فلو أنهم ستروا على أنفسهم ما وقعوا فيه من الذنوب والمعاصي نتيجة لضعف إيمانهم أو لضعف إسلامهم وضعف نفوسهم وضعف عزائمهم، ليس استخفافا بأحكام الله ولا بشرائع الله، لو أنهم ستروا على أنفسهم الذنوب التي ارتكبوها بالليل فإن الله عز وجل لا يستوها عليهم في الدنيا والآخرة، ولكنهم يعني تبجحوا وتجرؤوا وقاموا يتباهون بذنوبهم ومعاصيهم بين العباد، يقول أنا فعلت كذا بالأمس أنا فعلت كذا بالأمس، فيصبح وقد ستره الله عز وجل فيصبح ويفضح نفسه. فهذا فارق بين هذا الحديث وهذا الحديث. الشاهد أن الحديث من صام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه، معناه أن هذا الشهر شهر التوبة وشهر العفو وشهر المغفرة، فإن رمضان فيه أوله تفتح أبواب الرحمة وتستمر أبواب الرحمة مفتوحة إلى آخر رمضان وتغلق أبواب النار. وإذا صام الإنسان واحتسب فإن الله يغفر له، وإذا غفر الله عز وجل أعتق رقبته من النار، أعتق رقبته من النار، لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: إن لله سبحانه وتعالى عتقاء من النار في آخر رمضان. الله عز وجل يعتق، أو في كل ليلة من رمضان يعتق الله عز وجل عتقاء من النار، فهذه من رحمة الله عز وجل. فشهر رمضان شهر العفو والمغفرة، وإذا تعبدنا فإننا نتعبد تحقيقا للعبادة التي يستحقها الله عز وجل، رجاء رؤية وجه الكريم أولا، ورجاء العفو والمغفرة ثانيا، ورجاء الستر في الدنيا والآخرة. هذا، وصلى اللهم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم، والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. جزاكم الله خير يا شيخ.
الله يبارك فيك، مع السلامة.
الله يسلمك. السلام عليكم عبد الله. طيب الشيخ رضى الله صار بايسين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. I bear witness is no Lord to be worshipped alone without any partners in truth except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I bear witness that Muhammad is servant and his messenger thereafter. The best of the speech is the book of Allah. And the best of guidance is the guidance of Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam. And the best of the matters are the newly innovated matters. The best of the matters in the religion, that is, are the newly innovated matters. And every newly innovated matter is an innovation. And every innovation is a misguidance, and every misguidance, wal-ayyadu billah, is in the hellfire. In the hadith that was narrated by Abi Huraira, which is an authentic hadith by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which he said, whoever fasts Ramadan imanan wa ihtisaba, upon belief and upon expecting the reward only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then all of his previous sins will be forgiven. All his previous sins will be forgiven. This blessed hadith, as the case here, has been proven to be authentic in the books of hadith, has a huge clarification for the ways and means that through which the servant of Allah will attain the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also in the same hadith, it shows us the reasons that may prevent a servant from the forgiveness of Allah or the pardoning of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through indicating that, through the indication of the meaning. The point here, whoever fasts Ramadan imanan wa ihtisaba, upon belief and upon ihtisab, meaning upon expecting the reward only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That shows us that the foundation of acceptance of action by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is based upon ikhlas, upon sincerity. In other words, that you as a believer must believe that Allah have made the action of worship an obligation upon you. And that's why we say imana, or upon belief, meaning that you believe in the obligation, in the fact that this action of worship is an obligation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is only legislated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or it is from the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the ayat, O you who believe, what it means, O you who believe, it has been written upon you as-siyam, the fasting, just as it was written upon nations before you. So whoever witnesses the month, he or she must fast it. Whoever comes to the time of the month of Ramadan, he or she must fast that month. This in itself is a proof that the fasting the month of Ramadan is a legislation that's a requirement and an obligation upon every believer, except or upon every believer that has no excuse to break the fast. Again, this is a proof that it is a legislation and a requirement and an obligation upon every believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you cannot leave it without an excuse. You cannot fast without an excuse. And whoever does not fast without an excuse as a believer, then he or she has fallen into a grave sin in regards to the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fasting is a pillar from the pillars of Islam. And the meaning of the word ihtisaba, meaning expecting, that you expect the reward only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if you as a believer was sincere in your action, then you should not be hoping for any recompense or reward except from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, that your actions of worship must be totally for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and nobody else. And that's actually a way of fulfilling the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said upon the tongue of his Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, all of the action of the sons of Adam is for him, except fasting, it is for me. And we went over this hadith yesterday. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made fasting sincerely for him alone without any partners, then Allah alone subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you the means that will help you reach that result, meaning be able to fast those days. So whoever is fasting the month of Ramadan with the comfort of thought about the fact that you are fasting this upon obligation from Allah, you're not fasting this out of showing off or out of seeking status, walayadu billah. You're only fasting the month of Ramadan seeking the face of Allah. You don't intend by fasting the month of Ramadan, showing off to the people, or maybe out of fear of the people. That's what this hadith is referring to. That you're fasting imanan wa ihtisaba, that you're fasting upon belief and upon expecting the reward only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, not out of fear from the people, for example. You're not fasting out of showing off or for the sake of gaining some status amongst the people or a position, wal'ayadu billah. But you're fasting for the sake of Allah, fulfilling what Allah wants from you, and freeing yourself for the sake of Allah. Yani freeing that action or purifying your action for the sake of Allah. And not associating anything with any action of worship for other than Allah. Again, you're not trying, wal'iyadu billah, to add to any action of worship for other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then what is the result of this, as the hadith continue? That all of your previous sins will be forgiven. All of your previous sins will be forgiven. That actually tells us that major sins, not regular sins, not minor sins, major sins may get in between the person and his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. The most an individual or a person or a believer hopes for in his lifetime, that Allah forgives him and overlook his shortcomings and so on. That's the most a believer hopes for, that Allah forgives him before he dies upon any displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What we all longing for as believers, as we learn from the ayat in which the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam said, and what hoping from Allah for, that he forgives for me all of my sins on the Day of Judgment. What I'm longing for, in other words, that Allah forgives my sins on the Day of Judgment. As we also learn from other ayat in the Quran, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the believers making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they say, رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَخِذْنَا إِن نَسِيْنَا وَأَخْطَأْنَا. Oh Lord, do not hold us accountable if we forgot or we made mistakes. And the ayat continue, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says again about the believers supplicating to Allah and saying, رَبَّنَا وَلَا تَحْمِلْ عَلَيْنَا إِسْرًا كَمَا حَمَلْتَهُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِنَا. O Lord, and do not make us carry a burden just as you let others before us carry that burden. And whenever the believers make this dua that Allah mentioned in the ayat, then Allah will answer back and says, قَدْ فَعَلْتَ. I will do so, or I have done so. And this ayat, by the way, if you want to look them up, are at the end of Surah Al-Baqarah, the chapter of the Kaf, which is the second chapter of the Quran, for those who do not know the name of the chapter, which is the next chapter after Al-Fatiha. Then, in answering each dua the believers are making, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer back when you are reciting this ayat, upon belief, of course, and he will tell you, قَدْ فَعَلْتْ, I have done so. Then the ayat conclude with saying, أَنْتَ مَوْلَانَا فَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. You are our Lord, so give us victory, or aid us and support us, against the disbelieving people. Because every believer upon Islam wishes that Islam prevails as a religion all over the earth. Wishes that the word of Allah is the highest above and beyond any other religion. Wishes that we as believers prevail upon the face of the earth. We also learn from this ayat, or from the hadith that we mentioned earlier, that the siyam is an expiation from your sins and a path to the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there are other means and ways that Allah have facilitated for the believers, including the salah, the prayer, including a sadaqah or charity as means and ways to expiate one's sins. As we learn from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the five daily prayers and al-jum'ah to al-jum'ah, meaning the prayer of al-jum'ah in congregation every Friday to the next Friday, and Ramadan to Ramadan, meaning the fasting, the month of Ramadan to the next Ramadan, are expiators for what's between them, that expiate your sins for what's between them. If, as the hadith says, and put a condition here, if you stay away from major sin. Also another hadith in regards to this, in which the Prophet ﷺ said, if the believer is stood up on the Laylatul Qadr, the night of power, Imanan wahtisaban, again the same phrase again, Imanan wahtisaban, upon belief and upon expecting the reward only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then all of his or her previous sins will be forgiven. And to kind of connect this to the reality of man in this earth, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that the fitna of the man is in his wealth, his family, and the expiation of that fitna, meaning the expiation of the trials and tribulations or the testing and examination of men with their wealth and their family, is through fasting and charity. And salah is through fasting and charity and prayers. In another narration, only two of those three are mentioned. Two of the siyam, the sadaqah, and the salah are mentioned. So we learn from those hadith, from those narrations, that the fact, the siyam or the fasting, will expiate what happens of shortcoming from a believer in regards to his family and his wealth and his children. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test you as a believer with these affairs, will test you with your family, with your wealth, and your children. So you end up either one of two kind of people, two kinds of people. Either you're going to extremes in the rights, and your love to your family, your wealth, and your children, in other words, is above and beyond your love of Allah and religion of Allah, or above and beyond everything else. Or you fall short, that you become from those that are negligent in regards to the rights of your family, your wealth, and your children. So as we say in Islam, so a man or a believer will fall either between tafreet and taqseer, either between negligence or extremism, wal-iyadu billah. But in either case, as we learn from the narrations that we mentioned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would expiate that with fasting. And the scholars of the sunnah have clarified that major sins are the sins that requires a punishment from the hudud, from the legislated punishments in Islam, or will lead the person, al-iyadu billah, to face some form of a punishment from Allah in the hereafter. So if a believer falls into a sin and repents from that sin, then the most sincere condition is upon is when he leaves that sin, meaning that he only left that sin out of sincerity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone without any partner and nothing else. And we have mentioned hadith for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam that deals with fulfilling sincerity earlier. But to explain the matter a little bit further, if the sincerity, if the iman first and foremost is firm in the heart, and consequently the servant have repented sincerely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a way that was legislated or the way that was in a way that was legislated by the Prophet of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, that actually may take away the punishment, the legislated punishment or the hudud altogether away from that servant. Example for this, when a man came to the Prophet والسلام, and he said, O Prophet of Allah, I have fallen into a grave sin that requires a punishment according to legislation, requires me to yani to be punished with the hudud. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, did you pray with us this last prayer? Or did you pray with us the prayers? Then the man said, Naam, yes, O Messenger of Allah. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told the man, go back because Allah have forgiven for you. Go back because Allah have forgiven you. Now, when we look back at this hadith, we see the Sahabi coming to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, I have fallen into the kind of sin that requires a punishment according to legislation, that requires an application of the hudud. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells him at the end of the hadith, go back because Allah has forgiven you. That means, by the way, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have revealed to his Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam that the repentance of this man was sincere in a way that was sufficient, that no more punishment is required upon him. Again, from this hadith we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let the Prophet of Allah know that the repentance of this man was so sincere that suffices, or in other words, will not to a point that he will not have to suffer or will not have to face any capital punishment of any sort. So the fulfillment of sincerity, by the way, as we can tell from the hadith, is only known by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, nobody can ever tell if another human being is sincere except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if a believer falls into a sin that will lead to some form of capital punishment, for example, and then the believer takes it upon himself or herself to go to the Muslim judge and ask for the punishment, and if he is punished by the judge in accordance to the legislation, to the Sharia, then that believer is forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if the believer does so, meaning falls into a grave sin, a major sin that requires a capital punishment, and does not go to a Muslim judge to seek the required punishment from the Sharia, then it's up to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah wills, He will punish him in the hereafter, or maybe before he dies, out of His mercy. And if Allah wills, He may forgive him or her. The point here, leaving off sins, the first point here, that the believers may fall into major sins, but leaving those sins upon sincerity, out of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may lead to the forgiveness of Allah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, even though those sins were major sins, pay attention to that point. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَنْ يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive to associate any partners with him, to fall into polytheism. But he will forgive other than that for whoever he wills. Also another ayah in the Quran in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِي لَا تَخْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Say, O Muhammad, to my servants, O my servants, do not ever give up upon the mercy of Allah. And of course, as we always mention in those classes, try to take some notes or go back and listen to the audio again once it's released, and look up these ayat in the Quran and look up the tafsir, the interpretation, for added benefit and for more clarity. We learn from this ayat that when the believer is firm in his repentance. Meaning he repented to Allah and he was sincere upon that repentance and got rid or freed himself or herself from any of the consequence of those major sins that he or she fell off or fell in. If the believer feels the pains of the sins and the evil deeds that he or she have done previously. Not just that, maybe the believer also will feel pains for the sins of others around him, just as he feels the pains of his own or her own sins. So if the believer, in other words, free himself or herself from those sins, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will rectify his affair and will forgive him. And if the believer stays upon that, meaning freeing oneself from all kind of sin, major or minor, and always repenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, truthfully, meaning not ever going back to that sin again, that shows us that this believer is upon a pure heart, that he or she is trying to save themselves from the punishment of Allah. In other words, the believer must always be upon repentance and must always remember the pains of his sins and must always realize whenever he or she falls into a sin, rush to an obedience of Allah to wipe away that sin, for example. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive him or her. But there's also another group of the people in which our Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam said that there will come on the day of judgment a group from my ummah, from my nation, meaning from the Muslims. Their actions are as big as the mountains. Then Allah will blow them away out of existence, meaning will turn all this huge actions that were as big as the mountains in this life of theirs to dust that's blowing in the wind, meaning has no weight whatsoever in the hereafter. When the Sahaba heard this hadith from the Prophet ﷺ, they feared for themselves. And he said, O Messenger of Allah, describe these people to us. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, they are your brothers from your skins, and they take a portion from the night, meaning they stand up the night in prayers, just as you do. But when they are all by themselves with what Allah has prohibited, when they are all by themselves, when the individual or the person is by himself, away from the people, then وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ they'll fall into what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited upon the believers. The point here, such individuals will show what is good to the people around them when they're around the people. But once they're not with the people, they're all by themselves, or with their devils, وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ once they are with the devils or with themselves, then they fall into mockery of the prohibitions of Allah. They fall into mockery, meaning they take lightly what Allah have deemed to be prohibited or impermissible. The harm of such individuals upon Islam and the Muslims is actually more severe than other people. Because their way is based upon showing what is good when they are around the people and hide what is ugly from the people. But once they're all by themselves again, they take what is prohibited lightly and وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ fall into prohibitions. This hadith shows us that whoever falls into prohibited matters in secret out of taking matters lightly, meaning mocking what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have deemed to be prohibited, he or she is upon a grave affair. They're in a very dangerous situation, in other words. But how do we explain this in a better way, if you want to call it that? By another hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which our Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam said, all of my ummah, meaning all of the Muslims are mu'afa, they will be saved, except those who show al-mujahirun, show their evil deeds to the people, al-a'adhu billah, or those who broadcast their evil deeds to the people, or don't care if people find out about how evil they are, wal-iyadu billah. These kind of people have broken the cover that Allah have tried to cover their evil deeds with. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish them as a consequence of breaking such cover from Allah. Because if they try to keep the cover of Allah upon their evil deeds and cover themselves, in other words, or protected themselves or shielded themselves from being known for such evil, out of a result, for example, of them being weak in their iman or being weak in their own spirits, their souls is weak and the like, it may be that Allah will forgive them. So if they tried, when they fell into such actions, such evil actions, to shield such evil actions from others that they have done, for example, in the darkness of the night, due to their weakness of iman and the like, then maybe Allah will forgive them then. But instead, they were audacious, per se. They were, wal-iyadu billah, yani, what's the word here? They're not, yani, they were upon ugliness. In other words, due to the fact that they were showing their sins to others around them. So, for example, they would wake up in the morning and then expose themselves to the people and say, oh, do you know what I've done last night? And so on. That shows you here the difference between the two hadith, the two narrations that we mentioned. But the benefit out of this that we learn is stated in the hadith that we mentioned earlier. Whoever fasts Ramadan, iman and wahtisaba, upon iman, upon belief, and upon expecting the reward only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive all of his previous sins. That means that the month of Ramadan is the month of forgiveness, the month of repentance. During that month, the gates of mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are wide open for you to repent and go back to your Lord. And the gates of the hellfire are closed. And if Allah subhanahu, if the believer is truly sincere about his repentance, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive him. And if Allah forgives him, he may free his neck or her neck from the hellfire. May Allah make us from those. Ameen. Because the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the last of Ramadan, in another narration, every night of Ramadan, there will be those that will be freed from the hellfire. And this is from the mercy of Allah upon his servant. The month of Ramadan is the month of forgiveness, is the month of repentance, is the month that Allah overlooks our shortcomings. And if we worship Allah upon the reality of the sincerity, upon hoping only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we see his face in the hereafter, upon longing for the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and being covered and having our sins and our evil actions being covered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hereafter, we may become from those that will be free from the hellfire. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those. Ameen, ameen. And in conclusion, anything that I said as a translator that's correct is only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anything that I said that is not correct is only from myself and or from the shaitan. And we apologize for today's delay due to some technical difficulties. And also we apologize for the interruptions and communications. May Allah rectify our affairs and yours. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.